Hell, I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. Woo! This is Jared Haben, joined in studio by Dean Ungler. Oh, hello. Let's give him a round of applause for that one. Dean, you just always deserve a round of applause.
I didn't do anything, but I'll take the round
you
of applause.
You always do something. We also have Vanessa Grimaldi, who also deserves a round of applause. Mark and Easton, thanks for joining us as always.
No, ouch. That was...
No, you guys
Mark's
are
back in studio for the first time.
Yeah, here we go.
Good to be here.
Oh, it's never the same without Mark.
No, you guys are truly the backbone of this podcast, and you guys don't deserve the credit. Oh, no, you guys.
You're right. That part's true.
You guys don't get the credit you deserve. Flip flop that. Well, we also have a very special guest. On the phone, we are joined by El Huerta from Mend. El, how are you?
Woo! Hi, El!
Hi.
Yeah. So good to be back. How are you?
We're fantastic. We're full of energy today, El. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for not ghosting me. I'm happy to be returning.
No ghosting on this. So, Elle, you've been on the podcast before, but this is the first time that you're talking to Dean because he's away.
Oh, hi, Dean. Welcome back.
Hi, Elle. Pleasure to meet you over the phone.
And so, Elle, we've talked about your app before with Mend, but specifically today, we wanted you to come on the podcast to talk about a very specific subject. Can you talk a little bit about an article that you wrote about ghosting someone?
Yes. So, so we talked to a lot of menders about the reasons that they ghosted. And we shared 14 people's responses why they ghosted. And I think it's just so interesting because if you really start to hear these stories and understand why they ghosted, I think it really helps if you are being ghosted. I think it can kind of help you give that closure. So it's a really popular post right now. And I think a lot of people are reading it because, you know, so oftentimes you don't get that closure from the person. So that was the post.
Yeah. So what are your overall thoughts about ghosting? I'm assuming, judging by your article, you don't advocate it for one person to completely ghost another.
We've had advocates of it on the podcast before.
We've had advocates on the podcast before.
I myself might be one, to be honest.
I've had some of my friends that have given me reasons as to why they ghosted somebody.
I mean, if they cross the line and they're disrespectful, then ghost them. But yeah. I mean, I think everyone kind of deserves a reason as to why they're not, you know, you don't want to date them anymore.
Yes, I 100% agree. At Mend, we really believe in closing the loop, which is what we call it. But of course, there are some exceptions to that. Like Vanessa is saying, if someone does cross the line or you're really uncomfortable, sometimes that's the only option. But for the most part, I really believe in communicating, and it can be so simple. You don't have to, share a long story or an explanation. It can just be so simple as saying, like, this isn't working for me. And I think that's the part that's missing, and that's the part that really hangs people up. And my thought on ghosting, this isn't new. This is just, I think it's more painful now because you see all the signs that that person's continuing to live their life, right? Like they're commenting on their friends' Instagrams and posting stories. And then at the same time, they're also choosing not to talk to you. Like that feels so intentional. And that's the part that really hurts. And my advice to people who've been ghosted is to really remember why someone ghosts. And I think that's why this article that we posted that had a lot of reasons of why people ghosted was so popular.
Do you find that there's one specific reason over others as to why people ghost, or is it just really kind of random?
There is one that I think comes up a lot. There are a lot of different reasons for ghosting, but I think the one that comes up most often is that someone is scared to confront someone, right? Like it's a difficult thing to reject someone to their face. And a lot of people don't have the emotional maturity, or they don't even, know how to talk about it. And so it's just easier. It's almost like out of laziness, and that's, sad and unfortunate, but that is the one that comes up
cowardly.
Most often. Yeah. It's, a lot of people would rather just not deal with it. And like leave the text hanging, not make the phone call than actually communicate. And I think that's a really good reason for walking away and letting go of that person, right? Like if they don't have the skills yet to be able to close the loop. Like, you wouldn't want to be with them anyway, but I get why it's so hard to walk away, because there are unanswered questions, right? But they're not the person who's going to answer those questions for you, because they can't even, you know, close the loop when they're, you know, choosing to not see you anymore or talk to you.
Vanessa, have you ever been ghosted?
Yes. So it's
really
the first time. Yeah. So when Ashley and Ben were away filming Winter Games, I went in and I filled in for them. And that was like the first conversation that I had with Amy. I was like talking to someone and he just randomly stopped. So anyone that's listening and doesn't understand the term ghosting, it's when someone just intentionally stops talking to you and stops communicating with you and they just become a ghost. So that's the term ghosting. And it happened to me twice, actually, not super recently, but I had met someone over the summer and just like never really went on a date. We had just exchanged numbers and then they just stopped communicating. And I'm like, is it something that I did? Is it something that I said? My thing is, are they dating someone? Like,
yes.
You try to.
It's a very simple question and answer.
Dean,
yes.
Just chiming in. Yeah.
Yep. That's what it is.
They're dating someone else.
Yes.
Is that it?
100%.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's the ego that comes into play, right? And I keep telling myself, if my ego didn't exist, then I wouldn't really care if someone stopped talking to me. And in the end, it's a blessing in disguise if that person doesn't have, like you said, the emotional capacity to deal with just closing the loop and ending that relationship respectfully. Then imagine if you are in a relationship with them and they do actually hurt you. How are they going to mend that?
Right.
How are they going to repair that situation for you? And that's
a
sign for me that I don't want to be in a relationship with that person. So in the end, ghosting is a blessing in disguise.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Question. So I have a friend, a girlfriend who has been dating this guy for, I want to say, maybe a month or two. It wasn't really very serious, but it was playful or whatever. Like, they hung out maybe like once a week at most. And then he eventually, like, he maybe ghosted her for like 2 weeks. And then eventually he texted her and said, hey, I just want you to know I'm dating someone else. I'm going to focus on that relationship and not really be able to date you anymore. And she sent me the screenshot of him sending her that text message. And I was like, oh, that's very nice of him to close the loop. And her response was, yeah, but now he's making our, you know, casual relationship out to be more than it really was. And he's like assigning value to it when that value wasn't necessarily there. So do you guys, is there maybe like a benefit to ghosting? Because by doing what he did, which I think was a mature thing to do, she looked at it as a negative of being like, oh, well, like he thinks that our relationship was more than it was by saying that he's talking to someone else. Like, I didn't need that closure, that validation, but he's giving
it. No, I think that was a mature thing to do.
I mean,
I feel like I feel like that is totally fine. And I also feel like that's usually an edge case, right? Like, it didn't really hurt anyone for him to say that.
Mm-hmm.
If she had been wondering and waiting, like, that would have meant so much for him to communicate that. So I think that what he did was great. And, you know, she knows that the relationship wasn't really important. It's not like he broadcasted that on Instagram. You know, it was just a conversation between the two of them. So I feel like that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I also think you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Because
exactly.
If he hadn't sent out some text message saying why the relationship ended or why he was ghosting her, yeah, she would have been like, what a jerk. That's ridiculous. Like, was he assuming that we were nothing? Because, like, if he assumed that it was just casual, then he would have been a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
But since he assumed it was more, she then, replied by saying, oh, no, it was casual. Why would he even think that? So I think you just try to do the best you can in that situation. I think that's exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, I think that was handled really well, and I love that he closed the loop, so congrats.
Well, that's what I said, too.
She
was, like, upset about it, and I was like, why would you be upset about it? I think that was nice of him, in a sense. Like, obviously, it's not what you want to hear, but it was still, like, it allows you to kind of move on to the next thing. But that's kind of what we were talking about before with ghosting, and that's kind of why we've had people advocate it in the past, where sometimes there's, more often than not, there's a gray area in relationships between dating and boyfriend-girlfriend where it's not serious. And, like, you feel weird, like, validating it by even, like, bringing it up and, like, closing the loop. And then so instead of doing that, you just kind of, like, fade away into oblivion and never respond. And
so, Dean, from the sound of it, you've ghosted someone.
Right.
Oh my, yes.
All right,
sounds
so can
like
you...
You're a big-time ghoster.
I'm not a big-time...
No.
I used to be a ghoster. I've ghosted, and I've been ghosted.
Totally. I've been in situations...
You've been ghosted? I don't believe that.
No, I've definitely been ghosted.
I don't think I've ever ghosted anybody, but I've certainly... sometimes taken a while to reply. like days at a time, potentially, you know? Sure. No, honestly. So like I'll write back, or, you know, back in my single days, I would write back, but sometimes it would take longer than just a couple hours. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's technically ghosting or not, because you still reply, but it just took a while. So Dean, I want you to explain the why, not detailed oriented, but why you've ghosted.
I think, like I mentioned, it's always been early stages of a relationship. Like, you've gone on a few dates. Maybe just I don't have the emotional mental capacity to then approach that girl and be like, hey, the dates were fun, but now I don't have any interest in seeing you again. Because then again, like, there's maybe a lot of like finality to it. Like, once you say that, then you're like no longer able to date or even really talk to them as friends moving forward. It's a little bit more challenging that way. And it's just, the simple fact of it is it's just easier sometimes, you know?
And I also want to ask you, some of the people that you may have ghosted, you're not talking about relationships. You're talking about girls that you've maybe met a couple times.
Right. Girls, one date, two dates. I've never been in like a boyfriend, girlfriend, serious relationship and ghosted someone. That's bad.
Exactly. That is bad. So, Elle, I wanted to ask you, for guys out there who potentially may have ghosted someone they've only met once, is that okay or is that still not okay?
I still believe, like, whatever the level of involvement was, I still believe in closing the loop, just because I think it's better to be safe than sorry. And I get that it forces you to confront the situation and say, like, hey, actually, you know, I didn't feel a connection on our date. It's better than not saying anything at all. Because I do think you have to put yourself in the shoes of the person who's being ghosted. Mm-hmm. It is really confusing. And it leaves them with a lot of unanswered questions. And I think it can cause, you know, it can cause like more harm than good, right? To just completely walk away without saying anything. Mm-hmm. And then of course there's the next phase of from ghosting, it goes to zombieing. And I don't know if you guys have talked about zombieing.
No, please tell us. The zombie apocalypse is upon us. We need to know.
Yeah. So I think zombieing is even more common now. So zombieing is when someone has ghosted you in one form of communication. So let's say you're no longer texting, but then they're still following you on Instagram. They're liking your Instagram posts. They're watching your stories.
Brutal.
And I think that's so brutal. But the thing that I always remind people about zombieing is you can't control when someone ghosts you, right? They've just disappeared. But you can control if they're zombieing you, right? Like, you can actually hide your story from them so you don't have to see them pop up every time you check your story. It's more extreme, but you can block them. Like, there are ways to kind of protect yourself from that if it really bothers you. But I do think zombieing is a lot more common now because we're just all on social media all the time.
Can I ask who comes up with these names? Like, zombieing, ghosting, breadcrumbing? Like, who invents these?
Yeah, true.
I don't know. Good question.
I will say that sounds severe to me only because I only associate ghosting with non-serious relationships, like relationships that lasted maybe a week or two. I think beyond that,
that's not a relationship.
Right. Well, it's still a relationship.
Right.
It's just a lesser sense of a relationship. So I always look at that, and it's like, if I went on a date with someone, like one date, two dates, and then they ghosted me, and then they were zombieing me by like responding to my stories on Instagram, like, I don't think I would really care that much because I wouldn't be that emotionally invested in the relationship in the first place to then be upset by someone zombieing me. You know what I mean?
It depends, I guess, on I guess it depends on the depth of the relationship that you've had.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. I associate ghosting with very early stage relationships, which don't have much emotional investment, which means that you don't get upset about the breadcrumbing or the zombieing.
I think it depends, though, right? Like, you can have a strong emotional connection or have high hopes for something early on, like in the early stages. Yeah. And I feel like just based on the sheer number of memes that there are about zombieing in the early stages of relationships, I think there are a lot of people who do find it, you know, difficult and painful when someone ghosts them after a couple of dates.
Sure.
No, absolutely. Yeah. There's actually a buddy of mine who said that he ghosted a girl, and we were out getting drinks one time. He was telling me about it, and he said that the reason that he did it was because he didn't feel a connection, and he didn't want to have that conversation. It was very early on. It was one day, and he he didn't want to have that conversation of telling her, hey, it just didn't work out, and her asking why, and then having him to be honest, well, like, it was this or it was that. So he said, I'd rather ghost her and be the jerk and let her hate me. Well, hold on, I'm not advocating. I'm just giving a different perspective. What I'm saying is that he said, I'd rather be the jerk so she hates me because I'm never going to see her again anyway. So it's easier for her just to move on, to be like, oh, he was a jerk. So, like, I can move on to the next guy instead of him having that conversation with her, being honest, and then her having insecurities about it.
Being honest and be like, hey, this is what I don't like about you.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, you don't have to, I don't think you have to pinpoint exactly, like, oh, your left ear was, like, curved, and I don't like curved ears.
Right.
You don't have to pinpoint exactly what it is. At the end of the day, it's just you don't feel a connection, and that's it, you know? And sometimes that's all we need to hear is, I didn't feel that connection. I went on a date with a guy. And finally we kissed. This is like 6 years ago. No.
This was last week. Make it juicier for us, Vanessa.
6 days ago.
There's nothing juicy about my dating life, or else I would tell you guys. But it was like about 6 years ago, and I remember thinking like, okay, I like him. I have really good conversations with him, but I want to see if there's like an actual spark. And I remember I was kissing, and I was like, nah, I don't feel it. And I messaged him that night saying, listen, I didn't feel a spark between us, and, you know, I don't want to waste my time or your time. And that was it.
No, I agree with you, Vanessa. I think one of the best things that you could possibly say to someone when trying to end it would be to say, I don't think you're my person.
But what if it's a slow building spark, you know?
Not even my person, just like person or not. Maybe you just want to casually date someone for 3 months and have like a good fling with that person, but you have a really good connection with them. But that's all it's going to be. It doesn't have to be a person or not. It's just like, connect with someone or you don't.
No, what I'm saying is when you're ending it. Like, instead of ghosting them to end it, something that you can say as a guy or a girl is, you know what, it was good, but I just don't think, you know, I see a future, you're not my person, there isn't that spark, like we all talked about. I think that's the best way to do it instead of ghosting. Because I think the worst part of ghosting is not so much the lack of closure, it's the fact that one person is very indifferent towards you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a hard thing to swallow.
And that's the same thing with, like, if you're breaking up with someone, it's always easier to be the person that's breaking up with someone because you've had time to process it and think about it. And
no way. I
disagree.
I disagree, too.
No, that's not really.
It's so much easier to be broken up with than break up with someone.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Guys, emotionally, think about it. Let me finish my point. Who do you agree with?
That it's easier to be broken up with or to break up?
That's what Jared and I think, yeah.
I think it's way easier to be the person doing the breaking up.
Oh, exactly.
Can you explain?
Go ahead.
Because they've actually done a lot of research on this too, but when you are rejected, whether it's socially or romantically, it activates the pain center in your brain. It's so much more painful to be rejected, regardless of the reason, than it is to actually do the breaking up. And of course, there are like really intense situations, like if you were married for 20 years, where yes, it's more complicated, but ultimately, when someone chooses to no longer be with you, the person who wasn't involved with that choice feels more emotional pain, and it takes them longer, typically.
Right. And I think it's also because if you're the person that's breaking up with your significant other, you've had time to process it. You've had time to accept the new change that's going to be coming, whereas the person that you're breaking up with is like, where's it coming from? Really? Obviously, you had time to think about this. It's not like you wake up in the morning and say like, oh, I don't want to be with you anymore. It's a process. So for me, if I'm being broken up with, I don't know if it's necessarily the idea of being rejected. I think it's the idea that the person had thought about this for whether it's a week, a month, 2 months. They actually thought about this before doing it. You know, the process of thinking that you're going to leave me hurts me more than the actual act of leaving me.
Dean and Mark, I kind of want to hear your thoughts about it, because Dean, I think you might be on the same page with me, where I think it's easier to be broken up with than it is to break up with somebody. But Mark, I think you're on the opposite side.
I agree with the women on this one. I think it's easier to dump than to get dumped.
Why?
Because just what they're saying, you're in the driver's seat, you're in control, you've decided this is over, so you aren't as emotionally invested as you would as the other person probably is, and the other person's just getting slapped in the face out of the blue with a bucket of ice water.
Mm-hmm. So, Dean, why do you think so? Why do you think it's easier to be broken up with?
I think I would much prefer being hurt than hurting someone else.
I agree.
And because of that, I would much rather get dumped than dump someone else. Because I think...
This goes back to you guys ghosting people. It's the same thing. This goes back to the idea that you advocate ghosting because you're too much of a pussy to hurt
wow.
someone.
Yeah. Wow.
First of all, we're not advocating pussy. I mean, God, we're not. God, cut that out.
It is.
Okay, worked up there. Oh.
It does go back
that's
all about avoiding confrontation, right?
And yeah. Right.
You guys would prefer to avoid confrontation.
Well, Dean's saying there's no guilt in getting dumped. And that the guilt
exactly.
is really the difficult emotion.
And I'd rather live with pain than live with shame and guilt, which is both things that, like, Dean and I both have gone through.
Yeah.
And the idea of breaking up with someone is so painful and it really sucks. When you know that they're fully invested, it causes a lot of guilt. It's not so much that I shy away from confrontation. I've never ghosted anybody. And so it's just more so the fact that I would rather be the person hurt in a relationship than hurting someone else. That's what it really comes down
mm-hmm.
to
Agreed.
For me. Because I know I can handle it. I don't know if I...
And you'll get
I
over
should,
it. But that guilt can linger for a long time.
Of course. And I've been through a relationship where I broke up with somebody earlier in my 20s. I was dating a girl who was wonderful and incredible, and we had a loving relationship, but it was just time to end, and I knew that I had to go my separate way. And ending that was one of the worst things that I ever had to do because I knew how much pain I was putting her through by saying, I just don't think this is it, when she saw marriage. And, you know, and it's and we both saw it at one point. And so for me, going through that... I would just so much rather have somebody say, you know, I'd rather have somebody break up with me. I really
you know,
would.
I wonder if you've experienced your big, big heartbreak yet. Because I wonder if you had, if you would be saying that.
Well, hopefully not. Mm-hmm.
If I haven't experienced my big heartbreak.
You never will. Wait, what? If you
haven't. Well, yeah, I never will now.
Yeah.
Can you explain that further?
Wonder.
Why you think I'm in the thought process I am because I haven't gone through a big heartbreak?
So I think that when you go through a major, major heartbreak, it's so devastating, so painful. Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine wanting, like, choosing that over, choosing to hurt someone else versus choosing to
but here's the argument to that is because if you've been through a heartbreak, which I personally have been through a couple heartbreaks, I would much rather knowing how bad it hurts and how much it sucks, I'd much rather put myself through it again than put someone else through it.
I understand what everyone is saying.
Yeah. I think it's but, not like choosing one over the other, but originally it was about like which one is more painful. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's my point is like for me personally, and I feel like for a lot of people, being broken up with is so much more painful than having to break up with someone. But it's not like, you know, you never want to have to choose between breaking up with
never.
Broken up with.
I will say when I broke up with someone, I cried more over that than when I was dumped, because when I got dumped, I went into problem solving mode. Like, okay, here's how I'm going to win them back. I'm going to see them at this thing. When I see them there, I'm going to totally lay it on. I'm going to bring them flowers, whatever it is. I can fix this problem. But when I dumped, I was a mess. So maybe there's something to this.
Guilt is a very powerful emotion.
Is.
Right. Right.
Definitely a difference of opinion. The only difference is our opinion is right and your opinion is wrong.
like you said, like you wouldn't choose one or the other, and both are really bad. I think it's just in terms of an opinion. And in terms of what you're talking about, like me never going through a heartbreak, after I broke up with my significant other earlier in my 20s, I went through like 6 months of kind of like dating with other people. And then I went through a realization in my life of thinking that I should be back with her. And then it caused all these different complications. Then I kind of went through my own mini heartbreak. So I don't know. It's really hard to distinguish whether I went through that heartbreak or not. But I think it really comes down to opinion. Cause like I said, I still side on the fact I'd rather be the person broken up with.
Agreed.
I still side with my strong opinion of being the one to break up.
Well, Elle, we really want to thank you once again for coming on the podcast. As always, you are such a wonderful guest.
Thank you, guys.
And you are welcome anytime. Guys, check out Mend. It's an amazing app that really helps fix a broken heart. Elle, thank you once again for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Elle.
Thanks for having me. Bye, guys.
Take care. We'll talk to you soon, hopefully.
Bye.
Oh, God.
That conversation kind of turned away from. F*** off, Vanessa.
Hey, whoa, seriously, whoa, hey.
Wait, you know, hold on. You didn't see Aiden comes from? It comes from a text message that Dean sent me yesterday.
Okay, Dean says, Mrs. Worldwide, exclamation point, enter. New message. Would you ever consider freezing your eggs? What?
It was a genuine question.
Okay.
Did you ask that?
Okay, so I was in Colorado this past weekend, and on my flight from Los Angeles to Denver, I sat next to an older woman who was 59 years old, and she said that she didn't get married until later in life and how she always wanted to have a family. And she was put in a position where she then had to adopt her son, which is great. I definitely advocate adopting. But she said that if she could go back in time into her early 30s, late 20s, she would freeze her eggs because of the burden that women are placed under biologically. Because, you know, obviously your window to give and have children is smaller than a man's. And so because of that, you then place a lot of pressure on yourself to enter into a relationship and have those kids. And it occurred to me, I was like, well, you know, Vanessa, you're picky when it comes to dating men, rightfully so, you should be. But then you're also kind of putting a lot of pressure on yourself because you want to have those children. And so it's kind of like two opposing forces. And I was just asking you, because I think like if you were to go and freeze your eggs, it would alleviate you of the pressure of having to have kids within the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it would allow you to continue to be picky, obviously, and make sure you find the right person that is exactly right for you, not the person that you need to be with to have kids.
Absolutely. I mean, I was actually kidding. I wasn't upset. I just found that it was like so out of the blue.
I was just thinking about you. I'm sorry.
I totally appreciate that. So just to give you guys a little bit of background, maybe TMI, but whatever. Last year when I turned 30, I got off the pill and I just wanted to release my body of all the chemicals and all the toxins and all that stuff. So I'm like, you know what? I'm turning 30. Let me just get rid of all of it.
Okay.
And then now that I'm turning 31 on September 30th, I was having that discussion with myself, which is weird because when you send me that text message, I'm like, oh my God, I was actually talking about it with a friend of mine who's in her 40s. And she had to do in vitro twice and it didn't work out. And so I started having this conversation with her and she said the exact same thing. If she can go back to her early 30s, she would freeze her eggs because now she's having difficulty conceiving. So it is a topic that I'm having with myself. And so, yeah, I just found it weird. It was like weird timing. So that's something that I was considering doing.
What's the drawback of it? You think
I guess, it's like it makes me sad knowing that I have it's coming down to the point where yes, I don't have anyone in my life, and it's a reminder of like, oh, what if it doesn't happen? What if it's two things, right? Twofold. One, what if I don't find anyone to have a baby with? Okay, so then I have my eggs and I can have a baby by myself. Two, what if it's like super late down the line, like another 10 years before I find someone to have a family with? Am I going to have to wait 10 years to have a baby? You know, so it's obviously certain things. Like I'm not one to jump into any relationship. And like you said, I'm really picky with who I decide to welcome into my life. But it's scary if I never thought hitting 31 that I would have, I'm going to start crying, that I would have this type of conversation, you know?
No, Vanessa.
But do you, Tanya's looked into this. Tanya, we've talked to her before. Tanya's on the Ryan Seacrest show, scrubbing with Becca Tilly. She's been on the show a bunch of times.
Love Tanya.
She's looked into this as well. And she's been told, she's also 31. Don't worry about it. When you're 35, maybe start thinking about it then. But you're too young to even be thinking about it because you don't need to yet.
Well, I always hear that number thrown around 35. Is that scientifically proven?
That's what a geriatric pregnancy from that point forward.
Which they should really change the name of that.
Geriatric?
Geriatric.
Yeah, it makes it sound much older than 35.
Yeah. Terrible.
Okay, that's Mark's point then, that you shouldn't even consider until
35. Well, I don't know much about it. I know that that's what Tanya has been told by people because I think every woman in their 30s at least has the thought, is this something I need to think about?
Yeah.
And these days, women are... It's just not like it used to be when women would graduate high school and start a family. It's not like that anymore.
Right.
You're having lives and careers, and that's a great thing, and we should embrace that, and you should see that as a positive rather than feeling those feelings you're feeling, which I do totally understand and respect.
Yeah, and I hope any girl or woman listening to this, I'm not encouraging women to settle down and find someone. I'm encouraging you to
fulfill your dreams, chase your career goals, you know, do the things that you know that you are set to do, and it'll all come together. But obviously, every now and then, I'm like, oh, it would be nice to have someone that I can share these amazing accomplishments with, that I can sit down and cuddle with, and, you know, for them to be proud of me and for me to be proud of myself. So I'm really, 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 really happy on my own right now, and just focusing on work and focusing on the things that I love to do. But of course, I would love to be a mom. And that's I think I was put on earth to be a mom, and I just can't wait to be a mom.
I agree with that. You give off very motherly vibes.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And you have Jared and I to share all your accomplishments
with.
Yeah,
we're pretty much your kids anyway.
Well, that's not where I was going. But everything you said minus the cuddling, we're absolutely here for you.
No, absolutely. And Vanessa, yeah, you're going to have no problem finding someone. That I'm guaranteeing. That I'm very confident of. You know what else?
What a lucky person that will be.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Did you guys see Vanessa's Instagram post today? Case in point, that's how lucky they're going to be.
Exactly.
Just go ahead and take a look.
I didn't see it, but I can only
time.
Imagine. You know what else is pretty amazing?
No, what?
A nice little segue, I think.
What?
Have you ever heard of a little thing called JetSuite?
Oh, I have heard of them.
You've heard of JetSuite?
Tell us about it.
Oh, I would love to tell you about it. So JetSuite pretty much is semi-private flying for not-so-private fares. You have all air, no lines, guys. JetSuite X is making flying fun again. Guess what? You don't have to show up to LAX 2 hours early and wait in line, wait in security, wait to get checked in, wait 4 hours while they board 7 groups ahead of you. You get to show up 15 minutes before your flight. There are no crowds, no lines, also no stress.
Ooh.
Business class legroom on board, as well as free drinks, snacks, and cocktails. Good God, this sounds amazing, guys. JetSuite X, the best of a private jet experience for the price of commercial flying. Guess what? We're flying exclusively for everyone. We're flying down to the iHeart Festival in September on JetSuite X. We're all going there. We're going to have a good time. This will be the first time I'm ever flying private. Vanessa, are you coming? You're going to be still in Canada, aren't you?
I'm hoping I can still make it.
You have to fly into LA so you can experience JetSuite X for yourself. We're all going down there for the iHeart Festival, all flying JetSuite X. You guys can too. Prices are just like commercial ones, but you get the experience of flying private. This is the air travel company that you have been waiting for, JetSuite X.
Nice. I'm pumped. I was supposed to fly private for the first time in my life last year, and I ended up oversleeping and missing the flight.
I'm
very, very,
in a nutshell,
very excited to be able to fly out on JetSuite X to Las Vegas in September. It's going to be a great experience.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. Yeah, it'll be great. We're super excited.
Jared, you mentioned earlier, who comes up with these names for these dating terms? Well, I don't know who comes up with the names, but I have a list of dating terms.
Oh.
I want to see if you guys are up to speed on what these are.
Okay? I'm a little nervous.
Oh, God.
We've talked ghosting quite a bit. We know what ghosting is. Do you know what orbiting is? Or can you figure out what orbiting it is?
You kind of just like stay around.
They kind of go.
You like stay at the same level of relationship for an extended period of time, and it's maybe like not too emotionally deep.
Yeah,
I don't
you
know.
Guys are like dating, but you're not committed. You're always just kind of like on the outside.
On the fringe.
That sounds about right. This describes it as more like what she was saying is zombieing. It's the cut, not being cut off completely. Ghosting, but still staying on people's Snapchat, Instagram, and so forth.
Yeah, okay.
But no like direct communication. Sounds a lot like zombieing.
Yeah.
Submarining.
Oh.
What's submarining?
Submarining.
Submarining. Well, okay, so submarine goes underwater. Okay.
And it's very sneaky.
Very sneaky.
Getting
silent.
Warmer. Getting warmer.
So.
And then what does a submarine do?
It
fires missiles.
No, no, not. No missiles. Oh, what, Vanessa?
It comes back up.
Oh.
Oh, interesting.
It's a ghost followed by a sudden reappearance acting like everything's fine.
Oh, okay.
Months later, like, hey, how you doing?
Kind of like when George on Seinfeld got fired from his job but then showed up on Monday as if nothing happened.
That's a good one. I've definitely been guilty of that, submarining.
Oh, yeah, but
really?
Yeah.
Really? What happened? You were just like, I made a huge mistake. I'm just going to act as if nothing happened.
Well, it's kind of a reverse ghost.
It's a reverse ghost. It's
like trying to cancel out your ghost.
Right. It's like, oh, that never happened. Let's not even talk about that.
I guess my only question I should have asked Elvis is, how long do you have to ghost someone in order to be ghosting? For example, if you don't talk to if you don't respond for 2 weeks, is that ghosting?
Yeah. I think it's probably a couple days.
Forever, no?
Yeah, but at what point does it become ghosting?
What point does it become...
That was my question, because if we have a term for submarining, which is ghosting someone but then coming back, then there has to be some sort of extent, a period of time... that defines ghosting.
I think it's just a couple of days.
Only a couple days?
I'm going to say 72 hours, 3 days. That's yeah, the that's when you go from ghosting to... Mm-hmm. Or ignoring to ghosting.
Hey, we're just making up rules on how fast I can dating. I guess it
depends on how intense a relationship is to begin
with.
Oh,
yeah.
If you went on a one or two dates, it's probably longer than that if it's very casual. But if you've slept together and it's 72 hours, it's a ghost.
Yeah, I could see that.
Breadcrumbing.
We know that.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that one.
Yeah, we know that. We spoke about it last week. Well, it's like when you give like...
just enough to keep him on the line.
Yeah, you keep stringing him along. Do you know what benching is?
We talked about benching before, too.
Okay.
It's like when you dump someone-ish, but then you kind of keep talking to them because you're dating someone else, and if that relationship doesn't work out, then you bring that other person off the bench.
right? It's like a sports
like
term.
Right. Yeah.
It's like the walking encyclopedia of all of
We're all on a dating podcast, guys. We should be equally knowledgeable about all this
casually
stuff.
Dating somebody, but also seeing other people, but they're like your fail-safe.
Right.
See, I envision benching like calling in the relief pitcher, like the guy's up in the mound and the pitcher's not working out, so he's like, you know what, call him to the bullpen, here we go, I need the lefty.
How about, well, we know what catfishing is, I'll move past. How about cushioning? You know what cushioning is?
Not even a clue.
Cushioning?
Cushioning.
So someone that you invite over to watch movies and snuggle with, but
yeah,
nothing else.
Soft. So yeah. I was thinking snuggle as well.
Yeah.
No, I like this one. This is where you're in a relationship and you feel like it's not going that great. So you start putting out feelers so that when you do get dumped, they are your cushion.
Wow.
Oh.
You will fall onto your cushion and everything will be okay.
So you're expecting to get dumped. Or you're planning on dumping soon.
Yeah, like this is starting to hit the rocks a little bit. I better start getting some other options available.
That's messed up. Wait, that might be the worst one out of all of them, I think.
I
was going to say, that's smart.
Yeah, wait.
Wow.
That's what?
Smart.
Oh, so wait. Is cushioning when you try to get other options? Or is cushioning when you're about to break up with someone, you give a lot of signs toward that person it's not going to work
out? It's the other option.
Right. It sounds like you're planning on breaking up with someone, and before doing that, you then start getting feelers out there, so that way once you break up, you have something to fall back on.
Oh, yeah. Cushioning's bad.
Start up your flirting engine again.
Wait, is this like a backup? Like if let's say Dean is breaking up with me and I'm like, oh, shit, I think Dean's going to break up with me. Let me find someone I can fall back on.
No. Yes.
No. It would be me planning to break up with Vanessa.
Either
and then,
one, really.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I think if you feel like you could be getting dumped soon, so you start flirting with other people, that's a form of cushioning.
Cushioning's bad. That's borderline cheating.
I was about to say it's emotional cheating.
I take it back.
I agree with that. Slow fade. Kind of self-explanatory.
It's kind of like ghosting,
yeah,
I would assume.
It's a slow ghost.
Yeah.
It's a slow ghost, also called weaning.
Weaning?
Weaning.
Weaning?
Sure.
Like a wiener?
No.
You know, like you wean a baby off
breast milk or something.
Breast milk,
like that,
you wean. It's a slow fade. Okay. Yeah.
You never mind that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Stashing.
Is that kind of like benching?
That's the opposite, I guess. Like just having a bunch of like people lined up that you're dating at the same time.
No, that's not the definition here. No.
Someone that you might know is always going to stick around, so you like kind of stash them away and date other people, and then if that doesn't work out, then you go back to
Not that. Stashing is when you're actually in a relationship with someone but refuse to introduce them to friends and family.
Ouch.
Yeah, ouch.
No, that's the worst.
You do not want to get stashed.
Why would that be called stashing?
You stash
You're
them
just
away?
Like stashed away. You can't meet anybody.
They're stashed
close.
Away in the attic. Nobody knows they're there.
Oh, I've been stashed before.
Really?
You've been stashed?
Yeah.
Who would want to stash you?
That's like Matilda.
I was thinking Harry Potter, but yeah.
I think I almost do the opposite of stashing, where I introduce girls that I'm dating to my friends way too quickly. Mm. Sometimes.
Same. I know. I remember that now. I'm like, no. Even with you guys, are you dating anyone? And that's the thing. Last time I said I was dating someone, I was casually dating someone, and it turned out to be this whole thing that I was actually in a relationship and I wasn't. So until I'm actually boyfriend and girlfriend with someone, that's when I'm going to say I'm dating someone.
Well, that's a little bit dishonest, Vanessa. We don't like that.
No, it's not dishonest.
It's a lie by omission.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's okay.
No,
why is it a lie by omission?
Because she's going to be dating people and not be telling us about them. And you know what? Obviously, we're going to be asking her about her dating life. And she's going to say, no, I'm not dating anyone. But
hey,
in reality...
Vanessa, you dating anybody?
I'm open to dating. So
it sounds like she might be.
Yeah, it's not a no. Yeah.
And see, now it's going to be the girl cried wolf situation where you're going to keep saying no. We're 6 months from now, you're going to keep saying no.
Maybe.
But why not say yes? I'm not comfortable giving any more details.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not giving any details because I'm not dating someone. I'm open to dating. So maybe I've gone on a few dates.
Yeah, that's
okay.
But I'm not like seriously specifically dating.
Yeah, you're not in a committed relationship.
Just don't be anyone's cushion.
No.
not
Amen.
Exactly anyone's cushion.
I don't really understand this one. It's called breezing.
Okay.
Hold on. I want to try to figure this one out. Breezing. Is it like, well, you breeze by somebody. I don't know. Would that make any sense?
It's like a touch and go thing. Like a breeze is gentle and in and out. I don't know.
So according to this, and I'm reading all of these on women.com, by the way. It's when you don't care about the rules of dating, playing games, gender roles. You're just breezing.
So you're fluid.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're fluid. Maybe you're fluid, but I think it's more like we're not overthinking it. It's just
like when
very...
you're in an open marriage kind of thing. Where you're like,
oh, maybe.
I mean, it could be. That
could be
the description of what breezing is.
Yeah, could be.
I will. What's funny is, not to get off topic. Well, actually, keep going.
Please, no, get off topic.
Yeah.
No, I kind of want to hear it.
No, I just realized I don't want to share this story because it could get misinterpreted pretty easily, I think.
All right, let's move on then. Any other terms?
Let's see. Mooning.
Like pulling your pants down?
Not like that. Nope. Mooning is putting your phone on Do Not Disturb so nobody can text you.
Or like laying your phone face down at the dinner table.
Yeah,
or something
sure.
Like that.
Oh, how about I'll give you this one. I'll leave you with this one. You can probably figure this out. Caspering.
Oh, ghosting.
I think we've talked about Caspering before.
But it's different than just ghosting.
Hold on.
Friendly ghosting.
How can ghosting be interpreted as friendly?
According to this, rather than completely disappearing from someone's life with no explanation, you tell the person how you feel and then disappear from their life. Caspering.
No.
Okay, that's fine.
That doesn't make sense. That sounds like ghosting. That's like...
It's just breaking up, isn't it?
I was about to say, it's exactly what it is, breaking up.
We're going to change that definition because I think what Caspering should be is you end the romantic relationship, but then you maintain a friendship with them without ever clarifying that we're going to go from dating and being romantic interests to then being friends. And I think I would say I'm guilty of that, is where I'll end the romantic thing without saying that I'm ending it, but then stay friendly with them. You know what I mean?
That's a tough transition, though.
Wait, how do you transition? So the next time
you just start calling him buddy, or you start saying pal, or
dude. Some dudes in there.
Yeah, the dude is a bad
Casper.
One.
Casper.
I think that's a better definition for Casper.
But but there's got to be a moment, like she goes in to give you a kiss and you kind of back up, that she knows.
That would be my assumption.
Yeah, and then you could text them next day and be like, hey, remember that time you tried to kiss me? That's such a good one, bud. Like that kind of thing. Yeah.
Good one, brah.
Terrible.
I've definitely done that before. Because it's good to maintain a friendship and nice to people, but sometimes you just, you know, you don't want to be like, hey, this relationship is over.
That seems a bit of a...
Yeah, but to like bring this back full circle, didn't we, clap for the guy that did that earlier in the segment, or first in the podcast, who was like clarified saying he didn't want a relationship?
You're right. And I did tell my friend, I was like, I think you should be grateful and proud of him for saying that, because it's definitely... I don't know.
To me, Vanessa called you a P word earlier in the show, and I feel like that might be an example of a P word.
Yeah, but that's also, that's what's wrong with, I mean, never mind.
I think if you're going to break up. The whole friendship after breakup thing is nonsense, and only is going to make one of you happy. The other person is heartbroken.
Well, unless it's a couple of months down the line, then that's another story.
That's different.
And that leads us into a topic that we want to discuss too, is the on again, off again relationship. Do you think that if you break up with someone and then maintain a friendship that's non-physical or romantic, is that still on again, off again, or is that just...
No, it's only on again once you get
become
physical.
Romantic again.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, that's like two wins for me, two wins take less. Like, we are never, whenever I, or if someone breaks up with me, I'm never, ever, ever getting back together with them again.
Vanessa, have you ever gone through the situation where you broke up with somebody, but it was, you guys broke up, but you still hung out and maybe you hooked up one night? Have you ever been through a situation like that? Never?
Nope. Never. And I discussed this on the podcast before. I've never hooked up with an ex or someone that I recently broke up with, or never, 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 never. I'm like very black and white, and I'm learning how to deal with the areas of gray because life is very, the unknown is a little bit scary for me sometimes.
Life is in the gray.
Yeah, exactly. So, but when I'm in a relationship, I'm very black and white. Like I'm either all in or I'm all out. And if someone is half in, then I'm going to be out, you know. And if we're breaking up and there's a reason why we're breaking up, then I'm going to accept that and move on.
I will say
that I'm not going to look back.
That's definitely commendable. One of my really, really good friends went through a breakup about 6 months ago, and we were talking yesterday. Like he's obviously asking about my dating life, and I bring it back on him. I was like, hey, like when's the last time you talked to this girl that they dated for maybe like 9 months, broke up? And he goes, the last time I talked to her was the day that we broke up. And I looked at him, I was like, wow, man, I really respect you for that, because that's a hard thing to do. Mm-hmm. Is just to sever, you know, you're so used to talking to this person every single day and seeing them so often, and then just going from that to zero is, it's a difficult thing to do. So I think that in theory, like, it's probably better to do what you do, Vanessa, but it's challenging sometimes.
It's definitely
it's hard. I mean, I don't, like, for me, it's easier for me to go cold turkey and just make sure I get everything I need to say out before, you know, like, then you go through all those stages and you try to, like, mark, you're trying to say before you try to win, you go into, like, that
problem solving mode.
Yeah, problem solving mode, and you try to win them back or whatever. And of course, like, that goes through my mind. I'm like, oh my God, I hope I'm going to look so hot tonight and I bump into them. And I never end up bumping into anyone. But, No, for me, I know what works best for me. And we spoke about this before. I delete the thread of conversations. I don't block them. I don't delete them or anything, because I feel like, you know, I don't want to have any negative energy after I'm done processing the breakup. But for me, the biggest thing is just deleting the conversation thread, because it's so easy to go back on your phone whenever you're lonely and, like, read all the I love you messages and all the fun times that you had together and all that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you definitely romanticize the relationship. There was an interesting article that I sent you guys, written by Olivia Petter on Independent, and she talks about on and off relationships and how they actually hurt your they might be toxic for your mental health. And this is based on some research claims that they've done some studies on. She even goes into this article that says, in comparison to more stable partnerships, on and off relationships were linked to higher rates of abuse, lower levels of commitment, and poor communication. These types of relationships were associated with greater psychological distress, such as depression and anxiety.
Well, and also it could stop you from meeting the person you're supposed to be with, because you're spending time with this person that you know isn't the one, but you're spending enough time with them that is keeping you away from other possibilities.
But maybe they become the one.
Well, but I also believe in timing of things, right? So if it's not going to work out the first time around, then
it could work out the second time around.
But don't make it be on and off again for 5 years straight.
So, yeah. Vanessa, you would never have a friends with benefits kind of situation.
Never. No.
Why?
Because she's all in or she's all out. She wouldn't be in a halfway situation.
We can all please ourselves. We don't need to have, like, someone else there to please us and to, like, with our brains. So yeah, if I'm going to be with someone, I'm going to be with them 100% in a relationship. Whoever has friends with benefits relationships, I'm all for that. I wish I could do that, but I just know I mentally cannot, because I know how sensitive I am and how I can form feelings for someone maybe I shouldn't have feelings for. You know, it gets sticky. So I just can't do it. People that can, I mean, man, good for you.
Well, let's set the record straight. Good or bad, friends with benefits. Do we think it's a good thing or a bad thing?
I think at the end of the day, it's a bad thing.
I think eventually it always becomes a bad thing, because somebody catches feelings and there's no way to avoid that.
And I think this article talks about it. Well, Easton, yeah. Easton, what are your thoughts? You've been very silent over there the entire podcast.
I had a girlfriend once for 3 months, but that turned out to be a friends with benefits from her point of view. I thought she was my girlfriend. She was not.
Wait, did you guys ever sit down and have a conversation about, hey, we're boyfriend, girlfriend, or you just assumed?
I mean, I just assumed. I mean, like, we were going on a lot of dates. We were taking her to do stuff. I think I introduced her to my family.
Oh.
And then we were sleeping together a lot. And then at one point I was like, I said the word. I was like, oh, yeah, you're like, such a good girlfriend or something like that. She's like, whoa, buddy.
Wow.
Hey, you got the wrong idea here. That case, it's fine, I think.
It's fine in the moment, but I do think, like Mark said, at some point, it's going to have to go in one of two directions, either in a committed relationship or you guys really cut it off and date other people.
It has a shelf life.
It ends ugly.
Absolutely.
But Dean has a strong opinion on this, and I can tell.
I don't have a strong opinion.
Yeah, I think you do.
Let's just hear your opinion.
I think you're pro FWB.
I would probably say I'm definitely more pro than everyone else in this room.
Yeah.
But maybe as long as you're clear with your intentions from the start, I think that's how they always start. Maybe you just need like a constant reminder, like every couple of weeks, every month or so, I'd be like, hey, just to remind you, like, we're not going anywhere.
Have you ever had a friends with benefits situation that didn't end well? They always end badly, don't they?
Okay. I had one that just fizzled. And it was fine.
It was fine.
And you guys stay friends afterwards?
It just kind of stopped happening. Less and less frequency. And then that was the end of that.
Yeah.
We didn't stay friends afterwards, no.
I had this. We're going to get personal here for a second, right?
Well, you wouldn't have to.
Not recently, but a while ago. I had a friend who expressed interest in me. And she was best friends with my best friend, and they were dating, right? So, so my best friend was dating her best friend, and then she expressed interest in me. And she was like, hey, I think we should, you know.
Wait, sorry, she was dating your best friend, or her friend was dating your best
friend? Her best friend was dating my best friend.
Oh, so you go out as a foursome sometimes because they'd bring their friends?
They were like double dating, but they were, like, she was over often. We would run the same social circles, all that kind of stuff. And she expressed interest in saying like, hey, I think we should hook up. And I was very proud of myself because I said, no, I don't think we should hook up, because I think if we were to hook up, it would ruin our friendship. And like, we always see, like, have to see each other a lot. You're dating my best friend's girlfriend, right? Like that kind of thing. And so for that, I guess I was anti friends with benefits because I knew how much it could potentially ruin and make things awkward, the friendship that we already had. And it wasn't like a great friendship. Like, we didn't like hang out solo, but it was like a lot of like social settings where, we would always kind of be in the same space.
And so, you were 1,000% sure she would not be a good girlfriend for you potentially.
Yes. And I didn't want to, I don't think I ever wanted to date her. I didn't have interest in ever dating her. And so I put I set it straight, put the nail on the head, whatever the saying is. And I said, no, this is a bad idea.
So you put the nail on the head, but you guys didn't hook up.
Right.
Vanessa got it.
Put the nail on the head, but didn't nail the head with my head.
Okay, well, speaking of that, there it is. I have a question.
Finger guns.
So let's say I was having this discussion with a friend of mine, and I don't know how the topic came up, but so let's say you're casually, how do you know, like, okay, you're the beginning stages of dating someone, right? But you're dating someone, let's say, for 3 months in, but you haven't said that you're boyfriend and girlfriend yet, but you know that, you know at least that you're not sleeping with anyone else, and you assume that that person isn't sleeping with anyone else either. Then you casually go through their bag or something, and you find condoms in their luggage. You find condoms in their luggage, and they had just came back from a vacation or whatever. Sure. Not with you. Now, are you happy that A, they brought condoms on the trip so that if they were to hook up with anyone else, they were using protection, or B, upset that they actually thought about bringing condoms in case they were going to hook up with someone?
Or C, why are you going through his luggage in the first place?
I mean, I think if you're casually hooking up with someone, you really have to talk to them and ask if they're hooking up with other people, because that opens up another can of worms. I mean, it's good that he's bringing condoms.
I think it's all bad.
I think it's all good.
He says it's all bad.
Well, Mark, why do you think it's all bad?
Mark, think it's all bad because he either hooked up while he was gone, or he had every intention of hooking up while he was gone, which might even be worse than doing it. The intention of doing it means that he's not all into your situation.
No, maybe he's just planning for a scenario. If it does happen, then he's ready for it. Like, maybe there's an insatiable urge, an unfightable force out there that's telling him he needs to hook up with this girl he just met on vacation, and he's prepared now because he, like, you know.
But, yeah, he's involved with, not Vanessa, but you did say it in first person. You said it in first person, but he's involved with somebody.
But not in a committed relationship.
They haven't had the conversation.
They need to have the conversation.
They do need to have the conversation.
Because dating around is one thing, but sleeping around is a completely different one.
Yes, and I don't think you should assume either. You shouldn't assume we're committed. We shouldn't assume we're not committed.
I agree. Communication is key.
Communication is key, but then by bringing it up, then you're putting so much pressure on the relationship or lack of relationship.
And that's why I didn't know what to tell her, because I'm like, well, that was my thought process too. I'm like, well, if you mention it now, then it's like,
why are we scared of pressure?
Because
what? Why are we scared of pressure?
Because you don't want to be pressured into doing something that you don't want to do.
But don't you think that sometimes, specifically in dating and relationships, that we really overthink things? And if we're with somebody for a couple months and hooking up, and while we're not in a committed relationship, the idea of not discussing, hey, are you having sex with other people, I think is ridiculous, because it doesn't put pressure on the relationship. Like, if you ask on the first date, hey, if we're going to sleep together, we're only sleeping with each other, then of course that's putting pressure on it. But after a couple weeks, like, you can't run away from the pressure anymore. You guys have hooked up a couple times. It's the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just like ignorance is bliss situation.
Yeah, but then what?
It's great because Jared's now in a committed relationship, and you can tell by everything he says. And Dean's not, and you can tell by everything he says.
No, I completely agree with what you're saying, Dean. I completely understand with what you're saying, but I think for me, dating around is very different than sleeping around.
Certainly, of course.
Uh-huh. Once you sleep together, you have to have the conversation. Is this person, Vanessa, sleeping with this guy?
I assume so. Then I guess.
Then he shouldn't be bringing condoms on a trip.
Or what if they're old condoms?
Right.
What if they're old condoms?
What do you mean, like expired condoms?
What if they're souvenirs?
Like from predating this relationship.
Right. That could be true.
I have condoms in places I have not been to in many years.
Ethan opens up the condom like a puff of smoke comes out.
Exactly.
Dust.
They're not safe to use. I don't intend on using them.
That's actually a really good point. Maybe he put the condoms in his bag 2 years ago and they're still there.
Well, that's what he should say no matter what the case is.
Yeah,
of course.
So now we're advocating lying?
I get the joke.
I don't know. I think I disagree with a lot of what you guys are saying today. And that probably makes me wrong.
No, not at all. I think it makes for a very interesting topic, a topic of conversation.
I'm very firmly in the minority in the
podcast. No, but what a dull podcast if we always agreed on everything.
Yeah. Exactly.
That comes up.
Completely agree.
We didn't get a lot of emails this week, and so let's give the email address again, isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. I pulled a few, though. Annika just got a new apartment. She's been dating someone for 6 months, and she wants to move in with this guy. Is it too soon? It's a very quick one.
6 months?
Dating 6 months. She just got her own place. She'd like this guy to move in with her. She has known him for 4 years, but only dating six months.
Nah, I haven't moved in with you. I think that's enough time.
I mean, obviously.
No.
Yeah.
Why are you saying no, Vanessa?
Listen, I just moved into my place, and I'm so happy coming home and doing my own thing, walking around naked, cooking, like.
Wait. Do you say this is an email, or is Anna on the phone right now talking to us? Vanessa, you're different than Anna. Just because you just did this doesn't mean Anna, like, if she's considering doing it, she's known the guy for 4 years.
But how long have they been dating? They've been dating 6 months.
6 months.
Sure, but exactly. They've been friends for 4 years. And if she's thinking about it, I think she should just go for it.
I also would say, from experience, my fiance now, we've known each other for 3 years. We only dated for about 4 months before I moved in, and I've moved in for 2 months now. I'm very, very happy.
It's a good point. I think age.
But how old is her name Annika?
It all depends on how old she is. I agree. If she's 21, that makes a difference.
That's a big factor here. We don't know her age. To me, if you're 33, move in together. If you're 20, hold off.
I agree.
Okay, we all agree. Okay. Perfect.
I disagree.
Not Dean.
Well, all right. So let's hypothetically speaking, Dean, if this girl's 23 years old, what do you think?
Move in. If she's wondering whether he should move in with her, I don't know what her concerns would be. Like, I guess it puts a lot of pressure on the relationship. But you should, like you said, why should we be afraid of pressure?
I agree to that. But having said that, there is a big difference between living with someone and not living with them. You know, because if you're dating someone, even if he spends 5 nights over there, there's still those 2 nights where you get to kind of decompress and be by yourself. Where once they move in, you don't get that anymore. It's 24/7 when you're home, they're home, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I would say that there is a big difference. So I agree with Mark. Depending on the age is where I would lie on this issue.
Have you ever lived with a woman, Dean?
No, not fully. There was one time where I was between apartments for like a month and I lived with my ex-girlfriend at the time, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it was fine. Granted, I did like sleep in my office probably about twice a week just because I enjoy having my own space and alone time.
So you were, that was an ex at the time when you guys were in. I'm sorry. It was just the way you said it. I was like, wow.
Well, it's just, if for the sake of honesty, if you know, this is a podcast and we expect everyone to be honest, Vanessa.
Were you guys friends? Were you guys friends?
Yeah, we were very good friends. Yeah.
So it was kind of an issue where like you needed a place to stay. She was still there for you. I don't see anything
wrong
with that.
And did you hook up while you were there?
Yeah, of course we did. I don't know.
So, but your feeling, Dean, is if you both are into it, go for it, right? Is that your basic, it's kind of a simple thought?
Why not? And hey,
I'm behind that as well, unless, like we talked about, it's like 21.
Sure.
If she's like 21.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever, I'm messy. It's fine. I get it.
I agree, you know.
Danelli's coming up on a year with a guy, and she's in love, and she's happy, but her anxiety is causing some problems in her relationship. She's had bad experiences in the past, and her anxiety really kicks in when he says he went out with a particular friend group because there's girls in that group that he slept with. Or he's going to lunch with all women coworkers, and he's the only guy. That really causes her anxiety to spike. I've expressed my discomfort about this, but I don't find it getting better. It's my anxiety, but it's happening more than I'd like. Do I just need to get over it? And how do I do that? Help, I don't want to suck at dating.
I don't think you suck at dating at all.
I like that.
Yeah, Vanessa, what are your thoughts about it? My initial thoughts are you're in the right. Like, that's weird for him to be hanging out in a group of girls that he used to hook up with.
Yeah, that is,
That's pretty weird.
That is pretty weird.
Vanessa, what are your thoughts about it?
Yes, if it was a group of friends that he was just friends with, then I'd say, well, not so weird. But if the fact that he had romantic relations with these women, I would shut that down.
Totally.
And he needs to respect your feelings on that.
Absolutely.
You know, we always say on this show that, you know, there are the only rules in a relationship are the rules that the two of you establish. And I think not hanging out with people you've slept with before is a decent rule. I think it's fine. Yeah.
Question for you guys. It's a similar situation, but a little bit different. I was actually recently just talking to an ex-girlfriend, and we were kind of doing like a post-mortem thing of like, why didn't our relationship work out, which I think can be beneficial for both parties. Obviously, it has its drawbacks of talking to an ex, whatever, whatever. That's not the point here. Back a couple years ago, I had a very close friend who was a girl while I was dating this girl that I'm talking to now in this story, whatever. And every Tuesday, we would go to the movies together, me and this friend of mine who was a girl. It was just us two that would go to the movies while I was dating this other girl. And at the time, she never expressed any concern. But just recently when we were talking and she was like, yeah, like, what the hell? Why were you going to a movie every Tuesday with this other girl? And it was purely friends, platonic. We never hooked up, anything like that. Never had any interest.
Never before or during.
Never before, during or after.
Okay.
And she was like, I never told you at the time. But looking back on it, like, that was really weird that every week you'd go to a movie with this other girl who she was also friends with. It was like we were all friends.
Would she ever come to the movie? Would all three of you ever go to a movie?
Nope, just it was always just me and the other girl. And there was never any interest on my end to pursue anything physically, romantically with the girl. I obviously can't speak for her specifically, but I just learned recently from my ex-girlfriend that she always thought it was really weird. And so it sounds like it's a similar situation, minus the whole fornicating beforehand and all that. But
it really depends on your friendship with the girl. Like, I'm friends with a girl back home. Her name is Crystal. Like, if you met us, we're like brother and sister.
Right.
But, like, initially, it's always weird for me to say, one of my best friends is a girl back home. They're like, oh, that's weird. Until they meet her and they're like, oh, never mind. Your relationship is completely platonic. You guys are brother and sister. But there are, and we've talked about this on podcasts in the past, where there will be people who are friends with somebody that's in a committed relationship simply because they want to, whatever they call it, zombieing, or, you know, they want to hang around because they do have more feelings for this person than they're leading on, and they're just hoping that it ends,
and there's no way to know that.
I will say this. I think this is an important facet to the story as well, is her and I were going to the movies before the other girl and I began boyfriend and girlfriend. So it was like grandfathered into the situation.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I agree that, man, that's tough. It's tough.
Opposite sex friendships are strange in a relationship.
Yeah, they're hard.
They do cause issues. Yeah. They do cause conversations and uncomfortable.
Of course.
And I think in a lot of relationships, those relationships kind of just fade to the side. Like, all your friends kind of fade to the side at a certain point in a relationship, just because that's how it happens.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it needs to happen, because if they're not comfortable with it, that's kind of got to come first.
I will say this to the emailer that sent this in. The one thing that I regret most out of all of that is that I didn't know it at the time. Like, if my girlfriend at the time came up to me and said, hey, this makes me uncomfortable, 100% I would have cut it off.
Oh, okay, that's good.
But it sucks hearing that it made her uncomfortable after the fact, because then it was like, I was doing something that made you uncomfortable.
I find that interesting, because I feel like you're the kind of guy that digs in your heels and say, you don't tell me how to live my life. I'm not doing anything wrong.
100% right. But I still would do everything in my power to not make her uncomfortable. You know what I mean? But I am very stubborn and hard-headed, and I'm very much like, I'm going to live my life the way that I want to live it.
Yeah.
But if something makes you uncomfortable, I think, as Jared made the point earlier, and as we do often, is communication is super important.
Yeah, I agree. No, I think that's really good advice for all our listeners out there, is that if there is something that's making you feel uncomfortable with the relationship, vocalize it. Because if not, it's just going to fester and grow into a bigger problem than it actually is. For example, with your ex-girlfriend, if she simply just said something, you would have cut that movie Tuesday night off.
Theoretically, yes.
So I think that's a good tidbit for
communication.
Everybody.
So Danelli, your partner needs to respect your feelings here, but also the anxiety is going to continue to be a problem. And even if you stop seeing these other people, there's going to be other stuff that causes a spike. So I wonder if therapy might be a good idea. Talking to somebody might be a good idea, because jealousy at that level, which I have experienced on both sides, I've been that guy that's super jealous and have experienced it the other way too. It's just a poison. Anything you can do to kind of tamp that down, I think, is going to be good for you and your future with this person or whoever it may be.
Do you ever, I always kind of go back and forth on this, whether jealousy is a good or bad thing.
I think it's good to a certain extent.
A little bit of jealousy is healthy, I think.
I agree.
Right, okay. So it's a little bit of, okay. Well, so my thing is, I've been in relationships where I have zero jealousy, don't care what the other person does in terms of like just hang out with whoever else. But then I'm always like, am I not jealous because I just don't care enough? And then I've been in relationships where I'm insanely jealous, and every time the girl that I'm dating goes out, whether it's with guys or girls, I'm like kind of, I like see myself, I'm like, you're being incredibly unreasonable and jealous right now, but but I think it's just because I had stronger feelings for that person. And so that's kind of where I was like, you're jealous because you care. And I've been in a situation where I wasn't jealous. So then I look back and I'm like, well, did I ever really care then? You know what I mean?
Vanessa, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think the more you're into someone, the more emotionally invested you are into the relationship, then there's certain things that either A, I always say this, and I remember once I was broken up with, my aunt told me something that stuck with me, and I'm like, I can't wait to find this person that A, will not bring out my insecurities. Of course, we all enter relationships with our past insecurities, our past hurts, and things that have gone things that have happened in our past relationships. And I think it's important to find someone that's not going to bring those insecurities up, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think a little bit of jealousy, not even just jealousy, just a little bit of like playful, like, oh, right, you're going out with that group tonight, eh? Like, just something that's like flirtatious and not harmful to the relationship, I think is healthy.
Yeah, I agree. It's all about balance. I think that you need a little jealousy in your relationship because, I mean, I've heard about couples breaking up because, like, one party is like, they never get jealous. I could hang out with anybody. Right. It's like they don't care. So you don't ever want your significant other to think that you don't care. So a little bit of jealousy is good, but you also don't want to be the guy punching the wall saying you can't hang out with this guy when it's her, you know, cousin.
I know my wife would never cheat on me. And a lot of, I've been told that that's naive for any spouse to think that about their spouse. But I really know that she never, ever would. So I'm not a jealous person in my current marriage, in my marriage. When we're out, maybe at a wedding reception or at a bar or something, and I see a guy come up and start talking to her, I'm like, excuse me, hi, hello, can we not do this right now?
See that ring finger?
And she kind of likes that when I kind of step in those situations.
I find that so sexy. The guy that I'm dating comes up like, kind of interferes with the conversation or like, you know, says like a comment. I'm like, yeah, that's right. He notices that I'm still being checked out. He notices that guys don't want me and he's coming in to interfere.
I agree.
I like that.
As a guy, you don't want your girlfriend to ever think that you don't care. So I think that's perfect, Mark.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Jared.
Yeah.
And on that note,
we'll wrap it up.
Sorry. The condom thing earlier.
Well, wait. Before we wrap it up, though, something interesting did happen to our friend Jared here just the other day.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to mention on the podcast very quickly. Yeah. I met Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis.
Ooh.
It was one of the biggest moments of my life. It was amazing. So back when I was on season 2 of Bachelor in Paradise, somebody came in and was like, oh, he kind of resembles Ashton Kutcher. And then I was told that all my life, like in my early 20s, that I looked like Michael Kelso. So anyway, so then on Bachelor in Paradise season 2, Ashton Kutcher posted a picture of me on Twitter back in 2015 and was like, who is this guy? Why is Mila making me take this photo? I was like, holy crap, that's
awesome.
Insane. And then there was like all these articles written about it. It was such a cool moment. And then fast forward to Dean's season of The Bachelorette when Rachel was the lead, Ashton Kutcher, who you met, Dean, and Mila Kunis was a guest on their show. And it was so funny because Ashton Kutcher at one point said, yeah, I started watching the show ever since that guy Jared was on there who people said I looked like or looked like me. And I was like, oh, that was awesome. So like there's been these little things. And then I was at the ping pong tournament for Clayton Kershaw's charity on Thursday night at Dodger Stadium. And then Ashley and I were there and we were looking on the board of who was there. And of course it said Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis. And we were like, holy crap. We have to at least try to meet them. And so we were standing there. Ashley and I were eating a cheeseburger. We look over to our right, and then there's Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis. And we're like, holy crap, we got to say something. So we walked up, super nervous. And it was so cool because we walked up, and then, like, Ashton saw us, and he was like, no way. No way. And, like, it was just, like, one of those moments that I'll just never forget. And
that is so cool.
It was awesome. And then Mila Kunis was like, group hug, guys. Bring it in. Congratulations.
Amazing.
And it was so cool because they were like, yeah, we're big fans of the show. And then we were talking about our wedding. And then we were like, oh, yeah, you know, we want Tanner to officiate, if you remember Tanner. And she's like, yeah, Tanner, Jade, they have a little baby girl. I'm like, wow, you are a fan.
Wow.
But how cool that they know you and they knew your story.
Yeah.
And that is cool. So amazing. So,
one of the most surreal moments of my life.
I'll bet.
Did you invite them to the wedding?
Oh, of course. And then they were like, don't, because we'll actually come. We're like, no.
Yeah, that's the point.
You should come. But it was such a cool moment just to hang out. And like all of those things happened, you know, previous seasons of The Bachelor. And it was just cool to have that moment because everybody always told me, they're like, you're definitely going to meet him at some point. You know, you're definitely going to meet Ashton Kutcher at one point in your life. And I was like, no, I'm not. And then all of a sudden, bada bing, bada boom, Ashley and I get to meet Ashton and Mila and like just kind of just hang out with them. And they gave us marriage advice and because it was pretty interesting to hear about them because they were publicly, you know, very publicly known that they were friends beforehand, before they got married for years. And so it was really cool just relating on that subject and just talking to them about everything and anything. So, and he was wearing a Bears jacket, so we talked football for a while. It was just such a cool moment that I never thought I'd have in my life. And the fact that we walked up to them and they recognized us was just...
It's awesome.
One of those surreal moments.
You're lucky, yeah.
That's cool.
Very lucky. So, well, yeah. It was cool.
I mean...
It was a cool moment. Yeah.
Humble brag.
Humble brag. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, that's it for us, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. We want to thank Jet Suite X, which are all flying out to the iHeart Festival.
Big thank you to L.
Super excited for that. Big thank you to L.
Huerta.
El Huerta from Mend App. You should go check that out. Easton, Mark, as always, you guys are wonderful. Please keep sending those emails. Those are our favorite part of the show. And once again, join the Facebook group, Help I Suck at Dating. You can also follow us on Instagram. Guess what our handle is?
Help I Suck at Dating.
Yeah.
Dean, as always, you're incredible. Vanessa, you're amazing. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you tune in next week where hopefully we all suck a little less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.